We are live at O'Hulahee's Pub in Monterey Park. Hi, everybody. It's the Phil Hendry Show. There's music playing, and there's St. Patrick's festivities, which will extend all weekend long here in the tavern. And David Hall is with us.
And I hope at some point, Phil, we get an opportunity to talk about what you just told me, because I think it's...
You really think it's unfair, don't you?
I don't think it's fair for you to tell me that before we go on the air.
All right, anyway, we also got the news that Sean Puffy Combs, the verdict is in. He is innocent. And that sort of cast a... it's sort of like people got upset or something, isn't it?
Well, this is an Irish pub, and there isn't any real affinity for African-Americans in there.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I just think it's an Irish pub. It's going to be a happy St. Patrick's Day for Sean Puffy Combs, but I don't know that you should expect the patrons in this bar to care.
And you're serious, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a little serious, yeah.
And you have this attitude that the Irish are, we might as well come out in the open with it right now. David G. Hall, the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show, is with us. And thank you, David.
My pleasure.
And you have this attitude that the Irish are racist, don't you?
No, what I said to you before you went on the air, and I will say it to your listeners, I didn't think it was a good idea for you. I'm going to let you say it to your listeners. I don't think it's a good idea.
All I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Phil Hendry, and by the way, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We are live at O'Hulahee's Tavern in Monterey Park, and all I said at the beginning to David before the show started was that I don't know who my ancestors are on my father's side. I could be Jewish.
And I said to you, please don't say that on the air, and you've said it.
I said it now, yeah.
I never said the Irish are racist. I said that Catholics don't like Jews. And that was the point that I was trying to make with you.
And I think that that's a very extreme point to make, that Catholics don't like Jews.
I got to tell you something. You coming on the air and saying that you're Jewish, okay, at the beginning of a St. Patrick's Day broadcast...
You think it's wrong?
I think it's definitely wrong. Yes, I do.
Well, I did it, and I don't know what you want me to...
Can we move on now?
Let me ask you a question. Why don't you think it's okay for me to speculate that I'm Jewish?
It's St. Patrick's Day, for crying out loud. You don't say you're a Jew on St. Pat. You say you're... Aren't you Irish? You got some...
Yeah, I got some Irish in me from my mother's side, yeah.
So what happens is these two tribes don't get along. Let's be honest. You're bumming everybody out with this Jew... Forgive me, folks, but don't you people think at home...
Let me have the phone. Hold on. Stand by. Okay, we are having some technical difficulties. What's your question?
I'm asking the people at home, don't you think that it is inappropriate for Phil Hendry to mention that he may be Jewish on one of the most festive days of the year for the Irish and for Catholics, St. Patrick's Day?
My question is, why am I bumming people out? Why do you think that bums them out?
Because Catholics and Jews don't get along. And St. Patrick's Day is traditionally...
I would not agree with that.
What?
I would not agree with that.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to agree with it. St. Patrick's Day is traditionally... What do people do on St. Patrick's Day?
Celebrate the holiday.
What are we doing in a bar?
All right. People like to drink.
People like to drink on St. Patrick's Day. That's right. What do Jews not do?
I don't know what you're saying.
Jews don't drink. If there's one thing, and I'll say this, Phil, and I say this with great love and affection in my heart for all of my Jewish listeners, if there's one thing that really bums a party out, it's when your Jewish friends show up. Because all of a sudden...
I don't think that's fair.
Quit trying to be polite about it. I'm dead serious. Tell the people again about how you're part Irish, all right? At least...
This is Phil Hendry. I'm part Irish at St. Patrick's Day. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to take...
I don't know, but I'm saying to you that the one thing that brings a party to a screeching halt is when your Jewish friends show up. And now that you're Jewish, I guess people are going to, you know, you being a...
Okay, if you're saying that I don't drink, yes, I do drink. And I like to take a drink.
I know you do. I've seen you.
Right, so if I'm part Jewish and I like to take a drink, what are you saying? It's the Irish part of me that likes to drink?
All I'm saying that traditionally and culturally, Jewish people don't drink. And St. Patrick's Day is about the worst day of the year for you to come out and say, oh, and by the way, I'm part Jewish. You know, what the hell is that? You can hear the music in the background.
Yeah, the music in the background is being provided by the O'Hurley He's Tavern Band. And you can hear there's a lot of people in here as we're broadcasting live here on this, the day before St. Patrick's Day. I'm Phil Henry.
And I'm Vice President of Syndication David G. Hall. And if you haven't heard, Phil Hendry's part Jewish.
Well, no, I didn't say that, man, and I'm beginning to...
Look, again,
do you really believe that Catholics don't like Jews?
I didn't say that, did I?
What did you say?
I said Catholics and Jews don't get along, is what I said.
And the Jews don't like to drink.
No, Jews do not like to drink. And by you coming on this air and saying that you're part Jewish, you've basically taken a bucket of urine and thrown it all over the St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Oh, come on.
I am telling you the truth, Phil.
All right, David G. Hall, what are you going to do?
I'll take a quick break here.
David G. Hall is moving off. Your microphone's still live, David. Hey, David, your microphone is still live. All right, I don't know if he knows. Does he know that his mic is still live, Craig? Because it's... This is the Phil Henry Show. We're broadcasting live from O'Hurley's Bar and Tavern in Monterey Park. His microphone is live. He's in the bathroom. And they're just telling me to keep talking, so I'll keep talking. And we're broadcasting live from O'Hurley's Tavern here in Monterey Park. His microphone is live. I'm Phil Henry, and it is St. Patrick's Day. Just so you get the... Jesus. Mic is live.
And I'm back.
Your mic was live.
I'm sorry?
Your microphone was live. We could hear you in the toilet.
And I apologize.
All right, we're live here. Let me give you the background on me. My mother is Irish. My father is Irish on their mother's side because both of my parents, my mother and father, knew who their mothers were, but they didn't know who their fathers were. They were adopted. And so... The speculation on my father's side is that my father's real father, my grandfather, my real grandfather, was a Jewish businessman from Toronto, Canada. There's no way of knowing, but that's why I said to you, David.
So you don't have proof of this?
No, we don't have any proof of it. What we have is family speculation.
Why would you come out and say it?
Because I'm saying it may be the case.
What I'd like you to do is read this.
What do you want me to read?
Read this.
I'm Phil Hendry, and I'm mostly Irish today, broadcasting live from O'Hurley's Pub, okay?
That's all we want you to do, Phil, is let the listener know on this, the day before St. Patrick's Day, that you are, for the most part, an Irish man, and you don't have to talk about being Jewish and just put everybody on a bummer.
When you say putting everybody on a bummer because I'm talking about being
Jews don't drink, you know?
Like Charlie don't surf?
Yeah, well, whatever, but they don't. This is a day for booze. Today you're Irish.
I got to put a little sign here. Kiss me, I'm mostly Irish and a little bit Jewish. How about that?
Phil, I'm not kidding around.
I can tell you're serious.
I'm very serious. Knock it off with the I'm partly Jewish stuff. Because it's putting everybody in the joint on a bummer.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here, the day before St. Patrick's Day, live from O'Hurley's Tavern in Monterey Park on The Phil Henry Show.
I'm Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Show, wishing all of you a very happy St. Patrick's Day.
And we'll go on.
I would ask you not to mention that.
Well, we got some people calling in now who want to talk about this.
All right, see, this is the problem with you bringing it up. You brought up the fact that you may be Jewish, and now you got people calling.
I have to take the phone calls.
Jesus. Phil, I built this entire remote around my Irish drive type guy. You know, have some green beer, shut your pie hole, let's get into the Irish thing.
Well, you know, this may be a shock to you, man. As much as I like to maybe have a beer, it isn't all about drinking, and I happen to be on the air right now. And I know that you...
I had one, yeah.
When you go to the can this time, turn... Okay, David G. Hall is leaving us for a moment. Turn your mic off this time.
Yeah, yeah.
1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. What we're going to be trying to do is tell a lot of people, see, his mic is live again. Okay, his mic is live. Keep talking, or I'll keep talking. What we're doing here is we're trying to let... Oh, Jesus, I can hear him in the bathroom. Would you cut his mic, please? Somebody at the station, cut his mic.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, I see. I'm hearing all these disgusting things. Cut his mic at the station, please.
Put on again?
Yes.
I'm telling Tony back at the station, when I'm in the... And I forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. Was I...
You were on the air.
Urinated.
Yes. David's angry. I just want you to know, Tony, he's angry. 1-800-449.
Yes, I am angry, and why wouldn't I be? I got you talking about being a Jew, and the whole world heard me tapping a kidney.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Irina. I think it's Irina in Denver. Hello, Irina?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. We are in a remote broadcast, so I hope you can hear us.
Yeah, I can hear you. I just think it's hilarious because earlier he was the one talking about you dumping a bucket of piss on the bar, and I think he's the one doing that.
No, ma'am. I said he bummed out the broadcast.
Ma'am, can I ask you to watch your language, Irina?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I have so many Jewish friends. They all drink wine. I'm Irish myself. In fact, I'm named after the saint. And you're just absolutely ridiculous. And I
Your name is Irina. Who are you named after?
Yes, I'm Irish.
You're named after who, dear?
I'm named after an Irish queen, actually.
An Irish queen. Well, whatever. I got no problem with Phil Henry being part Jewish. I didn't think it was necessary for him to bring it up.
It doesn't matter what he brings up. You're just showing your bias when you're sitting there talking about it. It doesn't matter what he is and what he decides to say. I feel sorry for Phil. I listen to the guy every day.
And
he gets on there with idiots like you that sit there and put him down for his beliefs, and he's just a kind and caring person.
Hey, you know something, Irina?
Let him enjoy himself.
I know him. You don't. This guy is an Irishman, okay? He's not a Jew. And to come out and...
Why
can't I say
I'm...
You know, I'm beginning to... You're Jewish, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm Irish.
Then why are you so... Why are you being so
vehement?
I'm Christian. Why are you being so vehement?
Because I think anyone has the right
to be
whatever they are.
No Christian. No Christian defends Jews like that. I think she's...
I'll defend anybody of any race, color, creed, religion, because I believe that everyone has the freedom to be who they are.
Hey, let me ask
and
you
go
a question.
Into a bar and drink and enjoy any holiday they want to enjoy and not be put down by somebody because they may be part Jewish, part black, part anything.
Why can't I have a beer? I have a beer.
You can have a beer.
And
everybody
they turn
can have a beer.
They turn
but
the
don't
mic.
Act like he's putting the show down. He's not putting the show down. He's not making anybody in that bar bummed out. You're making everybody bummed out because you're sitting there putting him down.
You know, they were playing music, David. The music stopped.
Yeah, everybody's staring at us doing this broadcast. I went and had a beer. The next thing I know, Tony at the station turned up my mic so everyone can hear me urinating.
Yeah, as you were sitting there talking about dumping a bucket of piss on the bar.
Well,
I didn't do it, buddy.
Huh?
You did it, buddy.
I didn't do it. I went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Why don't you just stop talking about the Jewish end of it because you're the one that's bringing it up and just drink and have a good time and enjoy the holiday.
That's what I'm trying to
do. Give Phil a break.
That's what I'm trying to do here, Irina. And
no, not you, Phil. Not you, Phil.
But let me tell you something.
Not you.
Irina, Phil's not having a beer because he's working. Oh, so you're the guy who gets to drink.
Yeah, I get to drink.
Well, then drink and shut up.
Hey, listen, Irina. What is Saint Irina the saint of anyway? Alcoholics?
Because all I
alcoholic.
All right, that is really cruel, David.
I'm just joking. Can say whatever he wants. I mean, I already know where he's coming from, which is totally.
Well, thank you very much, Irina, and thank you for your Jewish call.
You're welcome.
You're Jewish. Thank you very much, Irina, for your call. Thanks. We appreciate it. That's a nice lady. You're kidding her, right? She sounded Irish. I can hear her slur her words. Okay, who's... All right, who's next back at the station? Who should we go to? Okay, let's go to Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Hendry Show this afternoon. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
You know, I was on my,
David
you know,
Hall
I was
with
on
us.
My way home.
I'm David Hall.
I was on my way home from work. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine. I can hear you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I was on my way home from work, and I could not believe what I was hearing. You know, Mr. Hall, I know you're trying to make people laugh at times, but, you know, you sound like a real putz on this end. I just can't get over this. I said, the thing with the Jewish and the drinking is so absurd.
What are you talking
you really,
about?
I'm talking about what you said. I'm reacting to what you said.
Wait a minute. What Jew drinks?
Listen, where are you from? Where are you?
I'm originally from Sacramento, California.
Okay. Now, I don't know about California, although I have lived in Irvine. You know, we're from the East Coast over here, and every Jewish person I know has been known to have a cocktail here and there or a beer.
See? Oh, that's bull crap.
Now, I don't know where you're from, man. You got like a very narrow way of thinking. Either that or you just haven't been exposed to much.
I'm not talking about...
It's very unfortunate for a man your age to say things like that.
Manischewitz doesn't count. Wait a minute. He didn't say Manischewitz. Well, that's what you're talking about, right, Mark?
Will you please say that again?
Are you talking about Manischewitz? Because that doesn't count.
Manischewitz?
Yeah.
I'm talking about... Listen, man, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be real with you.
Well,
any kind of booze.
What
that's
do
not
you
the
mean?
Point. The thing is, the comments you make are so absurd, you got to make people laugh. And if that's what you're trying to do, you're really...
No, sir, I'm not. I am saying to Mr. Hendry that he should not bring up his Jewish roots on St. Patrick's Day, because there's nothing that bums out Catholics more than knowing that there's a Jew in their bar. Oh, now, wait a second. That is bull crap. That is your opinion. I go over there to this store, and I can't find... How come I can't find kosher whiskey? There you go. All right, I don't blame the guy for hanging up. Yeah, it's all right, Mark. I got it under control. Are we going to do a show here? You know something, Phil? I want to point this out to the listeners. Wait a minute. Are we going to do a show here? No, I want to point this out to the listeners. Before we went on the air, you dropped this turd on me. Hey, by the way, I might be Jewish, and I think I'll mention it on the air. I didn't ask for that butt log. You laid it on me. And now you are compounding the problem with butt log and everything else. Give me the mic. You know, I'm not going to fight you for this. Go take a piss. Yeah, you go to the bathroom and do that, man. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, all I can do is apologize. Of course, all of my Jewish listeners, everyone is welcome to hear the Phil Hendry Show, and I hope you're all having a happy St. Patrick's Day. A lot of the things... Are you going to cut his mic or not? All right, I'm going to go off the network if I don't get his mic cut, because I can hear him taking a leak again. Oh, yeah, train him to speak. Cut his mic! Cut the mic, because I hear toilet flushing. Cut the mic, but... Hello, stations. We're going to take a commercial, but... Say that. All right, Here he comes. You're on the air again. Was I on the air again? Tony, you're fired. I swear to God, so if you start discussing the Kabbalah, I will scream. I'm not discussing any of it. It's Marilyn, I believe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to respond to the rude gentleman. I have many Irish friends. I have many Jewish friends.
Are you Jewish, dear?
No, I'm Italian and I'm Catholic.
And isn't it true that Catholics can't stand Jews?
No, it is not.
Well, how come during World War II, the Pope shipped them all off to concentration camps?
I live here in the USA. I live in Denver, and I'm from Chicago, and I've never heard anything like this in my entire life.
His microphone is live. I want the station to know. Go ahead, Marilyn.
And I worked in a Jewish hospital for 4 years, and we had parties, and everybody drank. So I really don't understand.
We need to hold on, Marilyn. We need to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Oh,
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. We are broadcasting live from O'Herlihy's Tavern in Monterey Park, California. With me is David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication.
And the point that I wanted to make about Phil Henry coming out on the air, ladies and gentlemen, and saying that he's part Jewish is that the Jewish people... I'm not anti-Jewish, Phil.
Well, it's coming off sounding that way.
No, what I'm trying to say is it was the Catholics that had a hand in sending the Jewish people to the concentration camp. And
That's irresponsible.
No, it isn't. Pope Pius single-handedly shoveled Jewish people right into the oven. Just, it was like when they're putting the food across the counter?
Like a diner?
Like the Vatican on one side, concentration camp on the other, just like a diner.
Get out of here.
I'm telling you the truth. So I love the Jewish people. I just think when you see Catholics, get out of the bar. That's all.
All right, it's St. Patrick's Day, and I don't know how we devolved into this on a beautiful St. Patrick's Day. Marilyn, go ahead, dear. You were hanging on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just am angry because the things he's saying about the Catholic people not liking the Jewish people or getting along with them is so untrue.
Well, ma'am, the Pope in World War II was like
Listen, I belong to a Catholic parish, and on Thanksgiving Day we worship with other Christians, with Jews, with everything.
What do you think they got the idea for the pizza oven?
I don't really care.
Oh, come on, man. They had a pizza oven for years.
I can't understand why this man is being allowed to go on and on like this.
Would you excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. You know, Marilyn, I think one of the problems with what happens, and there, his mic is live again, okay?
Yeah. To me, he sounds a little drunk.
Does he sound? Because, listen, his mic is live again.
Yeah.
This, Marilyn, let me apologize.
That's okay, Phil. You're doing a good job.
I'm trying to.
And I just wanted you to know we don't all feel that way.
I don't want
to
zip up.
Ow! All right, wait a minute. Did he? Hello, Marilyn. What's going on? What the hell is happening? Go over and find out what's wrong, bud.
Stand by.
Don't stand by. Go and help him.
Now, sir, you got to cut it in a zipper. Got to cut it in a zipper. Over.
Do you realize we're on the air?
Right?
Do you realize that we're on the air?
About what?
The show is on the air right now.
But you,
I know, but you don't have to announce it to the world. David, how are you? Yeah, ice. Can we get some ice, Eddie? If we could get some ice. If anyone has ice. If anyone has... What are you doing, bud?
You're going to announce station. His penis was caught in a zipper.
Get out of there, will you? What are you doing?
I'm the on-site producer. I'm supposed to...
You don't have to announce that. If anyone has ice, can we make an announcement to the bar right now? Please, could you tell the band to stop playing? Thank you very much. If anybody has ice, we need ice over here. We need ice, please.
I got these pants from a Jewish tailor.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, man.
Let me go. Megan, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Would you take him in the back, okay? Megan, hello.
Hey.
Yes,
listen,
ma'am.
I am an Irish Catholic who grew up in an all-Jewish neighborhood, and me and my hard-drinking Jewish friends would personally like to probably take that twerp out and beat the crap out of him. But let me just say that if he's playing around trying to get a joke and trying to make a joke and make everybody laugh, he's cracking me up, because if he's serious, boy, he so deserves to lose his job Monday morning.
I tell you something. I heard it happen. I couldn't believe it, but he was in the bathroom. He got it caught in the zipper, and it's almost justice that it happened to him because of all the stuff that he was saying.
Well, you know, he sounds like the kind of guy that would have been a tough target to hit, and I don't feel a whole lot of sympathy for him.
Stand by.
Thank you. What do you mean, stand by?
We got ice for his penis. Ice for...
Give me that and quit saying that. I'm supposed to do that. It doesn't matter, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break here from O'Herlihy's Pub in Monterey Park. I certainly do appreciate your standing by. And where's David? Where is David, bud?
I don't know. He was just here holding an ice bag to his...
Yeah, I got that, okay. Where is he now?
I don't know.
We'll find him, because I don't know where he is.
There's that mic again, man. Turn his mic off, bud. I found him. He's in the bathroom. I know he's in the bathroom.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686, where we've made $116,800 for my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. We want to talk a little bit here about something that is very big. It's starting, actually started last weekend. It continues this weekend. And we're keeping an eye on a couple of clubs from the West Coast. I'm talking about March Madness. The basketball, college basketball hoops is on the air. It's always a thrilling, thrilling thing. College basketball, CSUN is playing. Cal State Northridge is playing Kansas tonight. UCLA, of course, is going up against another thing. I don't know if it's a team or whatever it is. It's really fun. You know, when I think of college basketball, when I think of March Madness and the excitement that goes on with March Madness, I go back over 20 years to a party that I went to. And at this party were a lot of people talking intensely about music. And one of the people that was talking about it was this lady, this young lady was sitting across from me. I was having a beer and she was drinking. And she was looking at me very intensely. And she was saying to me in the most serious manner possible, she looked at me and she said, I think that the acoustic guitar opening to Stairway to Heaven is some of the finest acoustic guitar that has ever been committed to record. I think Jimmy Page does magical things there. And I remember as I slowly tightened the nylon pantyhose around her neck, you know, and her body went limp in my arms. I remember thinking, geez, you know, we used to have a really nice relationship. I wonder what happened. But it was sweet. Well, the same thing happened at a bar not too long ago when a guy said, hey, put on some College Hoops. I don't remember drawing the belt out of my belt loops on my pants, but I do remember it just just tightening it a little bit around this guy's neck. And then leaving the bar just ahead of the, flashing rack of lights on the top of the squad car. Remember that? Now, it's a great game, college basketball. The only problem is that when I watch it with other people, I want to kill whosever idea it was to put it on in the first place. Now, Craig is going to take me skeet shooting in a few weeks. We're going to go skeet shooting, Craig, finally. Going to get that 12-gauge and let's do it to it. You don't want to be at my house after I start skeet shooting and suggest that we watch College Hoops. You don't want to be at my house and suggest that after I go skeet shooting with my man here. Because that means there's a loaded shotgun in the closet. I remember one time somebody at a party said, you know, Mark Farner of Grand Funk Railroad is one of the most intense performers on stage. And as the dental floss slowly tightened around his throat, I remember, okay, I've beat that joke. Anyway, you get the idea, don't you? And the other thing is that I haven't watched... See, here's the thing. I don't even know the local sports guys anymore. The problem is I don't really watch a lot of sports to the point where I know all the local sports guys, and I'm really following it. You know, basketball, forget it. There was a time, it's over in my life. I don't watch basketball, not even the Lakers. You know, I mentioned this the other night. Hockey, etc. College hoops, especially. And people say, well, you know what, Phil, you just don't get it. It's probably true. I probably don't. I know the reason why I'm not into it is because I never went to college.
The one guy did not going to be into college hoops or college balls, the guy that did not go to college. Maybe I'm jealous that those guys have an education. Maybe I'm jealous that those guys are not getting an education but have the opportunity to get one, you know, and aren't getting one. I don't know what it is, but I don't like watching college basketball. I don't like Dick Vitale with his, slam it home baby, all them cats. Oh, get out of my life, please. But it's starting tonight, and we have CSUN. And everybody's jacked for that, right? I bet you they lose by 50. Who are they playing? Kansas? And they're ranked 6th. CSUN is 7th. California State University of Northridge, for you guys that don't know what that is. They're up in the valley here. Northridge. Get it? The earthquake? You got it. By the way, Melissa Morgan just told me that she thinks that Motor Inn, You're Finding Mr. Right, that line from Sister Christian, is one of the finest symphonies that Night Ranger has ever recorded. And later, after the show, we're going to drop Melissa out of a window over here. And it'll be a lot of fun to watch as she plummets to the earth. You know those kinds of people? Anyway, as far as March Madness goes, it's just going to be tough again. It's going to be another tough month. Hearing all the hype, watching all the promos on, is it CBS that has the NC2A? You know, the guys flying through the air and jamming it. You remember when a dunk was unique? Do you remember when seeing a guy dunk on a basketball was just the most unique thing you could see? Do you remember those days? Now it's like everybody's flying through the air, jamming at home, then whipping the hands back behind the back with the big baggy pants. White guys, black guys, Chinese cats. Everybody flying through the air, jamming at home. So anyway, that's some guy 5'3". There's something wrong with a sport when a guy 5'3 can play. I think that the talent has got to be watered down. When a guy 5'3 is playing in the NBA, talent's got to be watered down, don't you think? It's got to be. There's no way a man 5'3 can play unless the rest of those guys suck. So I hate college basketball. I hate the annual rite of spring known as college hoops. I just can't stand any of it, and I say raise the hoop to 50 feet. The best basketball game that I ever saw was the one on MTV when it was like rock. You remember those rock and jock? And they had the hoop like 50 feet in the air. That was awesome. And it was like a 50-point basket. Why don't they do that, man? That's so beautiful. Isn't that cool? They had like a 20-point basket. They really need that badly, I think. But right now, everybody's loving hoops, so everyone goes to see it. And it's just one of those things that's just completely, if there ever there was a real youth sport, it is basketball. And it's something that kids, you know, all the kids are into it, man. And I remember, you know, in the 80s when I was really, really young, when I was like 36, and I'd go and I'd watch Showtime and got into a few fights with Celtic fans. It was all in good taste. Slowly tightening the belt around the neck of a Celtic fan. It was just all in good fun, you know, leaving their body limp there in the parking lot for maintenance to find early in the morning. It was just a lot of fun, you know. It was fun to hate the Celtics. I don't know. It was just a different time. But now, hoops become such an intense part of the social fabric because it's ghetto ball, because it's, you know, African Americans are heavily involved in the sport because it's sort of the great equalizer in terms of sport. You know, there are a lot, many, many black players. Baseball, I've been noticing, a lot more white guys playing it now. A lot of white people playing baseball. A lot of good white baseball players. And I don't know whether that's going to help the sport in bringing it back among the Caucasian elite or not. I don't care, personally. I'm white, and I don't care if, you know, the number one home run hitter is a white guy. What does that mean anyway, you know? I mean, all the black cats are saying it's a boring freaking game. So everybody's playing. Now, when the black guys start really infiltrating hockey, and remember when I was talking to you last week about how much hockey really sucked? Not if they get a lot of black guys playing that game. Then I'll be out with the season tickets for that. Because the fights will be beautiful. But basketball and football, these sports primarily populated with black athletes, and as the result, are very popular because there's this sort of intense identification, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's all I have to say about that. Did you want to know anything else about the college game? I don't know what else is who's playing who tonight, but I did see the Academy Awards. I could talk a little bit about that. Okay. Well, the Academy Awards, as you know, were announced, the nominations, and Entertainment Weekly had a, I think they had a really good article in here about who was going to win. And do you want to know the odds of the different people who are going to win the Academy Awards or not? Do you? Okay, here it is. I'm not even looking up at anybody. I'm just asking. Apparently, they've got some picks in here in Entertainment Weekly as to who they think will win the Academy Awards. And they're taking bets. I don't know if they're taking bets, but they have odds. So here it is. The odds-on favorite to win Best Actor is Tom Hanks at 3-1, Ed Harris at 4-1, that Pollock, you got to see that, and Russell Crowe at 7-2, and everybody else is like cleaning up the rear. This guy like Javier Bardem, you know, every year there's one guy you never heard of and a movie you never saw and never will see, and like next year nobody's going to remember who won anyway. Do you remember who won the Best Actor last year? Yeah, you know who won Best Picture? Who won Best Picture? Who won Best Picture last year? Nobody knows. Nobody will ever know. No one ever remembers. Anyway, they got the favorite for Best Actress is Ellen Burstyn. And Craig doesn't even know who she is. 4-1. Then at 5-1, Laura Linney. And then at 1-2, Julia Roberts. You know who she is, yeah. Julia Roberts is the favorite to win. This is the only industry I know of, the motion picture industry. They'll give an award to somebody who was in a movie that didn't make any money. Just because it was a good movie, or the acting was good, or somebody thought something special about that. Only industry I know. Best Supporting Actor at 2-1, Benicio del Toro for Traffic, and 3-1, Albert Finney for Erin Brockovich. And Best Supporting Actress, Kate Hudson for Almost Famous at 3-2, and Marcia Gay Harden, 2-1. Nobody saw that movie. Nobody even knows who Marcia Gay Harden is. It was Pollock. Okay. Hopefully, after they win these awards, then people start knowing who they are, right? And there's Judi Dench at 4-1. I saw that movie. I'm the only guy I know who saw Chocolat. And Craig just said that I'm the only guy he knows that saw Chocolat. And I'm telling you, Judi Dench didn't do anything but sit on her ass and eat chocolate. She didn't do nothing, man. It ain't no good. Don't go see it. Best Original Screenplay, 3-1, Almost Famous, 5-2, You Can Count on Me. There you go. And Best Adapted Screenplay, 2-1, Traffic, 5-2, Wonder Boys. There you are. The only thing people are going to be tuning in for is director, best picture, the actor, and the actress thing. So here's Best Picture, 4-1, 3-1 is Traffic, 4-1 is Ridley Scott's Gladiator, 5-2, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Penis. Yeah, you like that flick. Well, that isn't the one that was in. You saw Crouching Tiger, Hidden Penis. This is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So, Craig, you got your movie screwed up. And what do you think is going to win, Gladiator? And you know what? This is the blasphemy that I have for you today. Gladiator was cool, but the special effects in Gladiator, it looked as phony as any movie I've ever seen that's been digitally enhanced. It looked phony baloney. Now, you may say, well, Phil, they recreated Rome at the time of Christ. How real is it supposed to? I want to smell it, man. I want to see birds flying through the sky. I want the real deal. So it sucked. And then Best Picture at 3-2, Gladiator, 3-1, Traffic. Is there any doubt? The winner's going to be Chocolat. You got it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. And the news is that Sean Puffy Combs has been acquitted Friday of toting an illegal handgun into a crowded Manhattan hip-hop club by a jury that believed that Grammy-winning multimillionaire's repeated claim of innocence. He was also cleared of a bribery charge. So, I mean, I don't know this cat's music or anything, but if you're innocent, Puffy, God bless, man. And I'm sure you are. All right, now, we wanted to do something this hour called Entrepreneurs on Parade, and during a soft economy, during a rough economy, whatever you want to call it, I just read where the Fed is going to lower interest rates on Tuesday, and OPEC may do some oil cutting, and, you know, there's all kinds of conflicting energies in this market. We thought we'd get on the air some people who are not going to let this bad economy affect them and are going to push on, and we sort of asked people to write essays and to tell us why they will not be affected by any recession or any bad economy. And we're not saying we're in a recession. We're saying we may be, in a sluggish economy. And we picked one from a young man by the name of Dave Oliva. He lives in Montebello, and he's on the line with us right now from his home in Montebello to talk about his entrepreneurial spirit and how you're going to press on, even if money gets a little tight and even if things get a little rough. And, Dave, welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you very much.
And how old are you, Dave?
I'm 21 years old.
You're 21 years old. And tell me about what your plan is for your future economically.
Thanks, Phil. First of all, I want to say right now that I'm very excited about my future. And I think that you have to be excited about your future. You have to be positive and you have to be upbeat. I will eventually move out of my mom's house. Right now I live with my mom. But by the time I'm 25, I do want to get my own place. And the essay that I sent to your radio show, Mr. Henry, you might remember if you read it. It was called Young, Smart, and Full of Character.
I remember it exactly, yeah.
And that's what I think you have to be in this economy. You have to be young, you have to be smart, and you have to have character, okay? Because if you're not young, if you're old and you haven't established yourself, like, I wouldn't want to be you. I mean, that'd be bad. If you're not smart, if you're stupid, and let's say you're old and stupid, that's bad too, and I would not want to, like, I don't want to run you down or down you or nothing, but if you're old and stupid, that's bad too. Now, let's say you're old, you're stupid, and you don't have no character, like you're a piece of dirt or something, okay? My essay is not called Old, Stupid, and a Piece of Dirt. It's called Young, Smart, and Full of Character.
Well, you said you have a four-year plan to get out of your house. You're living with your mother now.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be out by the time you're 25.
Yes, sir. My plan is to get my own place by the time I'm 25. We had a couple of extra expenses. My girlfriend, you know, tragically, she's pregnant again, but I am saving my money. Right now, I'm stocking shelves at Costco, and eventually I want to go into management, business management. My boss says that I'm on the fast track, and this economy's not going to catch me.
Are you in school?
I take some night classes. But again, Mr. Henry, people who go bankrupt, people who struggle in this bad economy, it's not that they didn't go to school. It's like they don't have no ideas. And I got a lot of ideas. And I have backbone, too.
All right, you keep going to young, smart, and full of character. You just mentioned backbone. So you're saying what? You got to have some guts?
You got to be strong. You got to be smart, you know? You got to have backbone. I think people who are having a hard time in this economy are weak, and they don't have no backbone. And I think if you have a hard time in a bad economy, you're just, like, weak, man. I mean, I don't even want to, like, know you or anything. Just, it'd be like if you tried to sit down next to me at the diner at Denny's in the morning when I'm having my eggs and I'm having a cup of coffee along with an orange juice, which is my standard breakfast, three scrambled, a cup of coffee, orange juice, before I hit the door and go to my first shift at Costco, and you, like, sit down next to me because you're weak and you're, like, going to file for bankruptcy or something, I don't even want you to sit next to me, man. If I knew it, I would not let you sit next to me.
Okay. You mentioned bankruptcy. Are you aware of this bankruptcy law that is going to make it harder for people to file for bankruptcy?
No, sir, I'm not. But I'll tell you right now, if it makes it tougher for somebody to file for bankruptcy, I think that's good, because I don't think people, you know, should be given a free ride, man. I don't believe in it. And I don't want their weakness rubbing off on me.
Okay. Look, at Dave, you've got a lot of strong opinions. I'm going to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. His name is Dave Oliva. He's 21 years of age. And you're kind of an entrepreneurial guy. I know that you got a lot of different jobs. You also started a business that I want to hear about. You're living at home right now. You're planning on getting your own place by the time you're 25. And you really believe in yourself, don't you?
Yes, sir. I believe in myself, okay? I mean, I believe Like, I should have been titled, I should have titled my paper Young, Smart, Strong, and Full of Character, because I also believe that's what I am. I'm young, I'm smart, I'm strong, and I'm full of character. I'm not old, stupid, weak, and a piece of crap on the ground, you know. And
now, Dave, let me interrupt you, because I'm 48 years old. Am I old?
Oh, I mean, Mr. Henry, you're old, but you're not, you made it, man. You made it. I mean, I would love to be you, man. I mean, you got it. I'm talking about old people that are trash, man. And
but don't you think the old, even if they don't have a lot of money, deserve our respect?
Yeah, I guess, man.
I mean, why do you agonize over that? Don't you think everybody deserves our respect? If you become strong and if you become good in business, are you going to treat those who don't have any money?
No, it's not if, it's when, Mr. Henry. It's not if, it's...
Okay, when you become strong and when you become great in business, shouldn't you treat those less fortunate than you with respect?
I respect people who respect themselves, man. If you're filing for bankruptcy, you can't pay your bills, you get out of here, man. I don't want your weakness to rub off on me. You know,
all right, well, let me ask you about the jobs that you have and your business ideas. You work where right now?
Right now I'm stocking shelves at Costco, which is a membership club. By the way, I'm not one of those people with no earning potential. I have the world in front of me, and I'm going to eat the slow economy for breakfast. Watch my dust as I become your boss. And if you can't pay your bills, man, you're some kind of pussy. You know, I mean, I'm not kidding, man. And
okay, all right, we got that speech. Now tell me a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Yes, sir. Right now I'm stocking shelves at Costco. My cousin has a dry cleaning business that I can deliver for him on Thursday. I'm going to start doing that next month. And there's also a new Subway sandwich shop opening up on Garvey. I'd like to work my way up. I can work my way up to night manager in no time over there. So I can do that. In the morning, I can do the dry cleaning delivery. In the afternoon, do my swing shift at Costco. Also, I'm going to go around to businesses, and this is kind of the thing that is my ace in the hole. I have started a new business. It's called Sandwiches on the Run, and my girlfriend makes sandwiches, and I put them in a cooler, and I go to these different businesses, okay? And
you sell the sandwiches that your girlfriend makes? You got them in a cooler?
I got them in a cooler, and my business is called Sandwiches on the Run, you know? And it's going to be so great, man. I'm very proud. See, I believe in backup systems, man.
All right, slow down, just a second. Sandwiches on the Run, you're going to have sandwiches that your girlfriend makes in a cooler, and you're going to go where, to businesses?
Yes, sir, to different business office buildings and also to offices.
Okay. And you believe in backup systems such as?
I believe if some pussy can't pay his bills. I remember one time I saw a movie, and the name of that movie was, I think it was called Oliver Twist, I'm not sure. And in the movie, the dude said, yeah, man, he can't pay his bills. Put him in debtor's prison. Put him in a workhouse. And my girlfriend thought I was cruel, but I thought, no, man, we got so many pussies that can't pay their bills now. We should bring back the workhouse. And when
you want to put people in a debtor's prison and in a workhouse, how does that get them to pay their bills back?
You know what it does? You know,
I mean, how does that get a man, when you throw him in prison, how does that get a man to make restitution to people that he owes money to?
You know what it is, Mr. Henry? When he gets out, he'll never, ever not pay his bills like a pussy again. That's what that's all about. And that.
Okay, Dave, hold on.
But I mean, that's what I want to say, that I'm never going to be in that position, man. And
okay, Dave, hold the line. There you go. Dave Oliva, Entrepreneurs on Parade, part of our feature here on the Phil Henry Show, and he is a young man who's going to be starting a new sandwich business. He's going around to businesses with sandwiches in a cooler called Sandwiches on the Run. He's going to sell those in offices. He's also working, he hopes he'll be working at a new Subway shop opening up. His cousin has a dry cleaning business. He also is a stocking shelves at a membership store. He's got a lot of jobs. He's currently living with his mother, but he plans to get out by the time he's 25. His girlfriend is pregnant again, so I got to assume that he has another child. So he's a young man who's working hard, but he's got a big mountain to climb. One of the things that we got to sort of teach him is you don't call people that can't pay their bills pussies. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. We're Entrepreneurs on Parade. Part of our weekly feature, we're talking to David. His last name is Oliva, Dave Oliva. You prefer David or Dave?
Oh, actually, I prefer David, Mr. Henry, because I love that name. It's the name my mother gave me.
Okay, David. And you are a young entrepreneur. You've got a business called Sandwiches on the Run. You're taking sandwiches into businesses. You also have a couple of jobs. And you said that people who don't pay bills are pussies.
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. My comment for you would be, before we go to a phone call, is have some compassion for people who are less worthy.
Well, Mr. Henry, can I just jump in for a minute?
Go ahead.
I mean, I believe that you make a commitment to pay your bills, you have to pay them. I have a daughter that I love very much. I also have another one that is going to be born, too. I would, if I had a cable bill, if my DirecTV bill was due on the 5th, I would sell both of them on the 4th in order to make sure I pay that bill. Because I'll tell you something right now, of course I would never sell my daughters, all right? But if I had to pay the cable bill and I did not have no money and somebody said, okay, I'll give you like, you know, $1,000 for your kid or something, I'd have to consider to pay the bill. Because if you don't, you'll never get a loan in a bank or nothing. So, I mean, I will never have to sell them. But if I had to, at least I'd have the option. Because I could get, how much do you think you could get for a kid, you know? I mean,
well, why would we ever have to consider that?
No, but I'm saying I will never not pay no bill, even if it means I could get $10,000 for my kid, which I would never do. I would never do, but if I had to.
You'd sell your daughter.
Are you going to, what, you going to get your cable cut off? Everybody thinks you're a deadbeat or whatever? Like, that's pussy. I'm not a pussy.
Okay. But I you will never have to sell your daughter, I'm sure. And I don't think you'd really do that. I think that...
No, sir, I'm serious.
I don't believe it. Leah, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, what my comment was that, David, I believe you said that character was one of the three things you named.
I had to sell plasma to get hubcaps on my ride. I'll do what it takes to get the job, you know.
You sold your own blood to get hubcaps.
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did.
Are you there, Leah?
Yes,
let's go.
Talking.
Come on, let's go. We're waiting for you.
I was talking.
All right, go.
My comment was that
I think
that David...
Is the lady
there? She's there. We're talking to her right now.
Okay, what you want?
My comment was that,
yeah?
I believe you said that character was one of the three things that were your,
yeah,
strong
you have to
point.
Have, you have to have character. You've got to have,
well,
character.
Well, I believe that people that have character don't have children out of wedlock.
Well, that's why you're where you are, where I am, you know.
That's right, I am, and you
don't
know anything about my circumstances, but I'm not living with my mother, I will assure you of that.
Yeah, but I bet you I have greater potential at my age than you did when you were like my age. How old
are
you? How old are you?
I'm 60 years old. I have a PhD. I've just retired from a major oil company, and I have plenty of money.
A PhD in what?
A PhD in many things.
Well, like in what?
Life, but I also have an academic PhD.
In what?
In geoscience.
Geoscience?
Yes.
That's pussy. That's...
Well, wait a minute. How can you say...
Well, you can't make no money doing that. Nah, I'm sorry, man. I don't buy it. I would sell blood, man, to get hubcaps on my ride. And what are you going to do? Like, go out and...
I'm not going to do any of those things. I don't have to.
Look at an oil rig or something, man. I don't get it, man.
Geoscience is the study of soil, I guess, or the study
rock.
Of rock or whatever.
Rock.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'll have by the time I'm 60 is a personality. Because you don't... I mean, I don't mean to be cruel, but you sound kind of like... Why don't you have a drink or something and loosen up?
Well, what? Why is this personal?
What?
Why are you getting personal with her?
Well, PhD in geoscience. She don't sound like no Indiana Jones to me.
Okay, look. Thank you, Leah. Well, what has that got to...
Well, she just... that sounds like pussy stuff, man. I want to... What is that about?
That's a degree. That's an education. That's a PhD. That's a lot of school. And that's somebody going after something that they love, okay? Keith on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. You know what's a pussy? Is living with your mother.
Hey, man, it's temporary, man. It's temporary, man, while I put my money together. Okay? Yeah, I'm putting my money together, not be able to buy and sell you, man.
You're a joke, man.
Yeah, man. Why am I a joke? I got four jobs, man. I got a bank account right now. I'm approaching almost $10,000.
You got four jobs and you live with your mother?
Hey, dude, I will always pay my bills. At least I ain't paying them late like you probably do.
Oh, yeah, well, I might be late on my bills, but I sure
am
paying my kids.
You're late on your bills, man. You won't be able to get no loan. You won't be able to get no house, man.
I think maybe when
you grow up, you'll realize
what life's all about.
I know what life's about,
I think you're
man.
A punk kid.
Hey, man. I know what life's all about. I got a midnight blue El Camino, okay?
Oh.
I got, what do you got, man?
Oh, I just got a Thunderbird, man.
That's the most pussy car that has ever been made, man.
A T-Bird?
That's pussy, man. I got a midnight blue El Camino, okay? I got a whole racing package. I got racing stripe, tuck and roll, okay?
And you're a sandwich salesman.
Hey, dude.
Whoa, man.
Hey, it's my own business, man. I ain't working
for
no... What are you doing, man? What do you do, man? You probably pushing tacos behind the counter, man. At least I'm out in the sunshine.
And I got my own business on the side, and I drive an 18-wheeler.
I ain't talking about, like, dealing crack, man.
Okay, now don't go there.
No, what? I got a plan. What you got?
You know, I struggle to pay my bills.
I got a five-year plan, man.
All right.
What?
Well, just chill about talking about people dealing crack or crank or...
Crank.
Yeah. Chris, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, I own my own business, and this guy talks about people being worthless who can't pay their bills. For heaven's sakes, this guy lives out of his freaking mom's house.
Hey, right now I'm putting my four-year plan together.
You know what? Your four-year plan screwed, dude. You got kids right now. Why aren't you paying those bills?
I'm paying... Right now, I got a daughter. I got one more on the way. But as soon as I get on my feet, then we're going to move into the apartments, the Monaco apartments that are they're building them right next door.
Dude, you're not paying your bills now. You got kids right now, and I don't care about your freaking four-year plan. You don't know nothing
are
about
you paying
business.
Are you paying your bills right now, Dave?
Yeah, I'm paying my bills, man. How's this dude know? I'm paying all my bills, except there's one bill that I'm late on. But that's my insurance bill. But the man said that he'd give me until the 15th of next month, okay? And also,
oh, gosh.
And also
come on.
My mother, I owe my mother money, but that's not the same thing.
Wait a minute. Are you paying rent to your mother?
Yes, I am.
Are you paying her regularly?
Right now, I'm 2 months behind, but she's my mom, man. It's not the same thing.
Dude, you are a pussy using your own terms. Listen to you. You don't even pay your own bills.
Hey, dude, where you live, man?
Where do I live? I live in a 2,700-square-foot house in Corona. I own my own business. I'm a college graduate. I drive a Jaguar.
Dude, if you own your own business and you drive a Jaguar, how come you're living at home?
What? I own my house. What are you talking about?
Do you own the house, but your mother and father are there? Is that what you said?
No, it's not what I said. I left home at 18 and I never looked back.
What? How much do you pay your mother in rent?
I pay my mother $100 a month in rent, okay, for the back bedroom. But I asked her for the back bedroom, okay? What are you talking? What?
You are a total pussy using your own terms.
Hey, dude, how do you figure I'm pussy, okay? I'm 21 years old. I have character. I'm going to work my way up to night manager at the Subway. And then what are you going to say?
Oh,
well, wait a minute.
You know, I'll be so proud of you. I'll ask for mustard and pickles when I come visit your sandwich shop.
You're pussy, man. You know that?
No, you are pussy, man.
Yeah, pussy.
Yeah, I'll be asking for that.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Thanks for your attention. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Dave Oliva. Dave is a young man, part of our Entrepreneurs on Parade segment, in which we talk about entrepreneurial spirit and how you get it and how you keep going with it. And Dave, you say that you've got all these jobs, you're living at home. How do you respond to people who tell you that you've got two kids out of wedlock and that you've got no character?
Hey, you know something? At least I got two kids. My mother helps me to take care of the kids, and helps Melissa, who is my girlfriend, to take care of the kids, okay? I mean, what was I supposed to do? When you love a woman and you are in bed with her and you are in, you have sex, hey, guess what, man? Babies get born, you know? So here's what I would say to all the people out there. Hey, if you have sex with a woman, babies get born. And that is part of the sexual love that I have, you know, that I'm talking about.
Okay, man. I mean, it's
Have you ever had sex with a woman?
Yes, pal. We don't have to talk about me, okay? We're just talking about you and how all of that falls under the larger heading of character. Here is Pat on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, I just want to say one thing to Mr. Young. Stupid, no
okay,
character,
that's okay.
With no plan.
That's okay.
He's living with his mommy.
That's okay. You can offend me.
Two bastard children.
You can
it's
offend me.
It's illegal to make food in your house and sell it on the street. You might be selling that meat from England and poisoning people. And you're
good. I hope you're the first stop on my. I hope you're the first stop on my route. Okay.
You're a loser.
Hey, Pat. Let me ask you something. Hey, she has to hang up because she needs to get the last word. But I know she's listening to the radio right now. So let me tell you something, Pat. My two kids. You just called them bastards. You're a pussy, and so's your old man. If your husband it wants to come down to visit me, he can come down to where I live in Montebello, and I'll kick your pussy husband's ass, too.
Feel better?
Yeah, she hung up.
You're right. There are some people who need to get the last word, so they hang up. But fortunately, on this show, we don't have a lot of them. All right?
Well, I'm going to get the last word right now on that lady, okay? You are a slut.
Okay, man. Just back it way off. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hey, this is Mike. Yeah, that was real intelligent. You can really argue with people, can't you?
What are you talking about, man? She hung up on me, man. Are you going to do the same thing?
No,
you gonna toss your hand grenade and run? You gonna
run,
man?
I don't
man?
Run, but buddy.
Oh,
but,
you
know, I know how to talk
on,
to
man.
People, though.
Well,
you
come
know?
On, man. She didn't know how to
you
talk
have
to anybody,
an education
did she,
at all.
Hey, you know what, man? I got jobs, man. What do you got?
So you don't have an education when
I
you drop
jobs.
Out of high school?
What's the matter, man? Don't you like Mexicans?
I do like
that. And you know something, man? Yeah. The only people that hang up on people are pussies.
I spent 6 months in South America, and I love South America, and I love the Latino culture, but, you know.
I ain't from South America, man. I'm from East L.A.
Well, it doesn't
now, do
matter.
You love me? What do you think of me now, man? And I'm studying for my GED, okay?
If you were intelligent, I'd have respect for you, but you're not intelligent.
I don't need your respect, man. You need to learn from me.
All I'm
going to
say
me.
Is.
You need to learn
you know,
from me. Sandwiches on the run, man, is going to be the biggest sandwich business that there is. You watch.
Hey, son, you know, you got a lot to learn about what's going to happen to you in the future. I mean, life
oh, yeah?
is not...
Like what, man? Like
life
what?
Life is not kind, and
go
it's gonna, you're going to get a reality check.
Like what? What's going to happen, man?
Well, when you get away from your mom and start getting real mortgage payments and real bills, and why don't you marry that woman instead of you know, letting
bucks.
Her live in sin?
I pay $100 a month in rent right now, man.
Oh, that's a lot,
how
buddy.
Much is
your mortgage payment?
How much is your mortgage?
Yeah, $1,000 a month.
I doubt it.
And I own a truck. That's $1,800 a month. I own a trailer that's $900 a month.
How much do you pay for your women?
Okay, what's that supposed to mean?
I'm just joking. Hey, I'll never be.
He doesn't have any intelligence.
Hey, you know something, man? You know what I'm happy about most of all? I'm never going to be old and bitter like you. I have my life in front of me, and I'll always pay my bills. Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What are you pussying out, man? You hanging out?
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone, idiot. I'm getting
It sounded like you pussied out and hung up on me, man. Yeah.
No, man. I run from Pennsylvania to Los Angeles twice a month in my truck that I own. Okay?
You know what, man? I'm gonna
be
somebody.
I work harder than you could ever dream of working.
Hell yeah? I'm gonna be somebody someday, and all the people will work for me in my sandwich delivery service.
Well, look, I'm successful. I've got nice brand new equipment.
You want to buy a sandwich?
You know, the big large truck out here on the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's my truck.
Do you want to buy a sandwich?
But you're 21 years old, son. You don't know nothing about life or anything.
Hey, do you want to buy a sandwich?
Yeah, I'd have to look at them. Sure, I mean.
But I hope you can afford it.
But what I'm saying is.
Okay, I think, Mike, you're giving him some advice. Don't knock people until you walked in their shoes.
Exactly.
Well, that's a lot of pussy talk, man. I mean,
that's real intelligent.
Everything out of your mouth is this is pussy, that's pussy.
Well, it is, man.
Yeah, he was raised on the streets. He never went to school. So he's lucky he's gotten this far, but he ain't going to make it to 30, I guarantee.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, man. Nobody gave me no scholarship to the Dooley truck driving school or whatever you did, man. You know
all
what you can do, though?
Hey, you know what you can do, man?
You could deliver sandwiches in my sandwiches in your new truck.
I'm telling you, in business, nobody's going to respect that attitude and that kind of language.
That's right. They're not going to respect a guy who can't speak the language of business, which is a bit more refined. And
are you kidding me, man? Looking like Bill Gates and Burt Russell, I mean Burt Reynolds, you know, people that have money, okay? All they did is they had an idea. That's my idea, is sandwiches on the run.
Well,
then I won't have to kiss nobody's, I guess I can't say ass, right?
Well, you just did, didn't you?
Well, I wouldn't have to kiss nobody's butt area.
Oh, man. 1-800-449.
Hey, Mr. Henry, you know, it feels like you're putting me down or something.
What?
It feels like you're putting me down.
Look, dude. Stop using the P word. Stop calling everybody who has a different idea about you. You know, you just called a woman, a college-educated woman with a Ph.D. in geoscience. You said that sounded like some pussy stuff. Okay?
Well, I mean, what about Indiana Jones?
What about him, man? He's a guy in the movies. Indiana Jones was an anthropologist, wasn't he? An archaeologist, something like that. Okay?
Well, that's something that people take in school, not no geo-pussy.
1-800-449-8686. Mona, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Dude, you need to get a grip and realize what life is about. Okay?
Oh, you're going to tell me now?
Yeah. You make it seem like you've got all the problems in the world and you have all the answers.
Hey.
You know, you don't have any problems. You spend $100 a month on your rent, and that's too much for you. You can't even pay that.
You know, hey, I'm paying it, man.
Try being a single mother, raising your child.
Where's your man?
You know?
Where's your man?
My man is gone.
Okay, that's really good, intelligent picking a man on your part. You should have picked me.
My man is dead. Is that okay with you?
Well, how'd he die? Would he fall off a cliff or something? What happened to him?
No, he died in an accident.
Well, he should have looked where he was going.
You swear that everybody...
Wait, Dave. This is a woman who lost her husband. Can't you have some...
All I said was he should have looked where he was going.
What do you mean he should have looked where he was going? He got hit by a drunk driver. By a dumbass like you that thought he had everything figured out.
Hey, at least I'm staying with my...
Who do you think you are?
How much do you pay?
You don't support your children. You can't even pay your rent on time. And that's to your own mother. What kind of an asshole are you?
I'm going
to
be paying her next month on the 2nd.
You're going to be paying her. And you're going to be making it. And you're going to be getting a career. Well, let me tell you something. I am not college educated. Okay?
I am
barely a high school graduate.
Which Taco Bell do you work at?
To support my son and to support my family and to realize that you can't be saying, well, I'm just going to do it on my own because I refuse to kiss somebody's ass.
Hey, when
you
sandwiches...
You've got to get down and get on your knees and kiss ass sometimes, or else you're not going to be anything like you are.
But
you're
Mona,
nothing.
Okay, but you know what you need to do? You got to pick a man who knows how to drive. Because
would you stop that?
No, you're a dumbass. You have no respect for anybody but yourself, and that's why you're never going to get anywhere. You know, we can't all be wrong. Everyone is coming on here and talking smack to you.
And you're the dude who's saying that you're right, everyone's wrong, everybody's pussy. This lady lost her husband to a drunk driver. It wasn't him that was not driving right, okay?
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say, man? All I'm saying is when Sandwiches on the Run gets established, you can come work for me, Mona. I don't want to work for you.
I wouldn't work for you.
Why wouldn't
because
you?
Because your ass is the one ass I would never kiss.
Hey, let me tell you, Sandwiches on the Run, we're going to have bologna, like three kinds of bologna sandwiches.
You know what? I don't care what kind of sandwiches you're going to have. I don't.
You know, you're coming on here
talking smack about everybody else's life.
Three kinds of bologna.
Telling a college-educated woman that she's a pussy?
Yeah, Geo.
Come on, now.
Hey, so now that your old man's dead, can I ask you, are you single?
Yeah, I am single, but guess what? You'd never have a chance, so don't even think about it.
You want to have a beer? Or
get out of here. Have some respect.
That is the most disgusting thing for you to ask me if I want to have a beer with you.
Absolutely. You got a woman at home. You've got two children.
I'm young, man.
You can afford a beer, but you can't afford to pay for your children or your rent?
You could go out
and get... What kind of an imbecile does that make you?
If you come to work for me, I won't make you carry the sandwich cooler.
You're a dumbass. I don't even want to speak to you. You know what? We cannot all be wrong. Everyone agrees. There is a general consensus on this radio that you are a grade A American, typical number one dumb ass.
You know something? Everybody is a failure. I'm going to be, and let me tell you something else. Beers
you
are not cheaper than kids.
Reality, oh God, then you shouldn't have had them. You shouldn't have laid down and had them.
Hey,
you shouldn't have laid down and
but
had
But I'm a
them.
Man. I must have the
you
sex.
You think about what your kids are going to come say to you in 15 years when they're grown, and you, if you think you can look at them in the face and say that to them, then you're nothing. You're nothing of a man. I'd like to see
okay.
you look in your children's faces
okay.
and say,
I hope you're
yes,
happy now.
Son,
I hope you're
a
happy.
Beer is cheaper than you were.
I hope you're happy. You beat me down, man. You beat me down. You beat down my self-esteem and everything.
That's good.
That's good?
You need to go to your children, and you need to get down on your knees, and
okay,
you need
be
to
good, man.
Promise to take care of your children instead of just spending all your money on alcohol.
I could be in the kitchen right now.
Guy.
I could be in the kitchen right now helping my girlfriend make egg salad sandwiches, but you beat me down.
Well, that's too bad.
I feel like a pussy now.
You are a pussy. You should feel like one.
You made me feel like I'm all pussed out and everything.
Well, that's what you did to every other person that's called today. Every other person that's called, you beat them down and made them feel like crap. But you're not doing
now,
that
I don't
to
even
me.
Want to go in the kitchen
I
and make...
I have pulled myself up from the gutter.
I don't want to even make
individual.
Those lean ham sandwiches for sandwiches on the run.
Look, dude, go make some, okay? Go make some sandwiches.
I feel like a pussy.
Good. Good. Go look at your children and tell your children how much of a pussy you feel like and try to make up all the wrong that you've been doing and all the bad things you've been saying to other people. You try to make that up to your children. You spend your life trying to make it up to your children.
What
don't worry
that?
About me and don't worry about the other people. Worry about your children.
Why did you belch?
Because I'm having a beer.
You're having a beer.
Whoa, is that against the law now all of a sudden, man?
No, it's not against the law, but it's just annoying that you can sit there and spend your money on alcohol or things like that that you don't really need. When you could be giving that money to your mother or to your children.
My kids are going to help me sell sandwiches on the run, man. You'll see.
Well,
okay,
that's
good.
For your children.
All
I'm
right,
sure
look at Mona.
Love that.
Mona, I couldn't have said it better. And
so are you busy Friday night or?
Yes, I'm very busy.
Hold on for just a minute.
Now what are you doing?
Who knows what he's doing? Now I can't have a bong hit.
Okay, that's it. The dude's doing bong hits.
See, he's an idiot.
He's a fruitcase.
He's got money for drugs and alcohol, and like I said before,
and he's gonna...
you're the one that's got to look in your children's faces from either behind a prison wall or from some other ugly place, and you've got to explain to them where you screwed up.
What did you say?
Okay, thank you very much, Mona. Get out of here, you freak. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. For some reason, our discussion here off air about Sean Puffy Combs, whose music I have no, I don't know, and I guess that makes me even older. I guess every day of my life, I get further and further away from the mainstream, man. Sean Puffy Combs. Although you don't know this cat's music, do you? Is there anybody out there who's ever heard this guy, man? I mean, seriously, forget about the old white, bald, middle-aged men that listen to me. I mean, some of the younger people who listen to this show, of which we have plenty. Have you ever heard this cat's music? J-Lo is down. Down on her face. But anyway, he was acquitted today of toting an illegal handgun into a crowded Manhattan hip-hop club by a jury that believed the Grammy-winning multimillionaire's repeated claims of innocence. He was also cleared of a bribery charge. And he had as his lawyers Benjamin Brofman and Johnny Cochran. So he had a pretty good legal team, and if the guy's innocent, the guy is innocent. Now, he's worth something like $400 million as a producer, not so much as a recording artist, and that's where his real forte. And you know what? He's a lot cleaner cut, and his act, his presentation is a lot smoother than, say, Notorious Big and that Tupac Shakur dude and all those other scumbags. This guy is like somebody your daughter ought to go into, a crowded Manhattan nightclub with. What do you think? But we've got to talking about this guy, and for some reason, I was comparing it to, for instance, Dean Martin walking into a nightclub with a gun, or Crosby, Stills, and Nash packing heat, or Elton John with a gat, you know, on stage at Dodger Stadium. Because that's exactly what we're talking about. It's exactly what we're talking. There's no difference. You say, well, look at the culture he comes from. Forget it. He's an artist. He's an entertainer. He's a poet. He's a musician. What if James Taylor was busted with like an Uzi walking into the Ash Grove or something back? I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking like freaking Nicolette Larson, you know, with a 22 as she goes up on stage at the Troubadour. Air Supply goes into Barney's Beanery with a submachine gun in a case. See, anything in life and in culture you can make relatable, anything. I don't care if you know anything about Sean Puffy Combs or not, and most of us don't, because most of us are white listening to this broadcast. Although we probably have more black people listening to our show than most other talk shows, I would have to say. But in any event, anything can be made relatable. And to me, this guy and his life and what's happened to him and what's happened to other people who were involved in that genre of music is as bizarre to me as if, like, the two members of Air Supply shot each other on the strip in Vegas. You know? As if, I don't know, Anne Murray got into it with Carol King. Anne Murray's found face down in a pool of blood in a women's room at the MGM Grand or something after a gunfight. That's how weird it is. And these guys, most people try to improve themselves to get into music. You know, you don't move into the music world. You move into business. You're trying to improve your life. You're trying to get away from those violent roots. These cats going right back into it. So I don't know if you heard the news, but Air Supply got into a blazing gun battle with Siegfried and Roy right outside of the... So it was a lover's quarrel. John and Karen Carpenter are arrested trying to strangle each other. John, is that the guy's name? John Carpenter? John Carpenter's the... Richard Carpenter, you dumbass. Siegfried and Roy and Air Supply were gunned down today in a brutal, bloody... In a brutal shootout in front of their freaking hotel. What in the hell? Why don't some of you white people start shooting each other? Jack Jones died today when Wayne Newton pulled a gun and greased him out there in front of whatever the hell it was. All right, so there it is. Oh, we were going to talk about the secret society thing. I can't get into it right now, but Vicki Lawrence and Carol Burnett shot each other. It was a knife fight. It's Phil Henry Show. Back to the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. I'm listening to theme music for Doug Danger's Hollywood Report, and Doug Danger is at the Little Shrimp in Laguna Beach tonight to talk to us about what's happening in Oscarland in Hollywood. And Doug, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Phil.
So we've got big news here. And the news is, it's not big news.
I would say, as Oscar news goes, Phil, it's insignificant, but it matters.
Okay, well, the news is, the producers of this year's Academy Awards ceremony are making Oscar winners an offer they hope they won't refuse, a 45-second limit on their acceptance speeches. Gil Cates, a veteran producer of the hours-long live telecast, advised Oscar nominees of the gag order Monday at the annual nominees lunch. And Tom Hanks playfully said he doesn't know that he could stick to a prepared script. What do you think about this? What do you think about all this time limit and people actually chafing at it?
Well, Phil, I'm very proud to be able to say that not only am I a journalist, I'm a gay journalist, I'm a gay man. I came out of the closet almost 4 months ago, and ever since then it has been a real challenge to be true to myself and to fight the forces of bigotry that are everywhere. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I think that Tom Hanks has every right
to thank the people that he wants to thank. He has every right to take as long as he wants if he is fortunate enough to win the Oscars.
So this time limit that they want to put on these actors who get up there at the Academy Awards and have these long speeches, you think is wrong?
I think it's wrong, and I'll tell you why. The time limit clock is the result, Phil, of the constant complaining of television viewers and affiliates that don't understand and really haven't accepted their own lives. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I put in a call to Randy Nugent, who's one of the production assistants this year, and I asked him, and I said, look, at this time limit, this clock you want to put on the actors who are accepting their Oscars, their Academy Awards, isn't this really about the people at home who are just jealous that they're not actors? And he said to me, you know, frankly, I think there's a lot there. I think there's a lot of it. When you have some 100 million...
The people at home, you mean people like you and I?
Well, people like you. I mean, I'm in the business because I'm an entertainment writer, and I write about films. So I'm in the film business. You're not. You and whoever you, you know, choose to spend your time with. And
are you saying, in other words, that me and whoever I choose to spend my time, you know, my friends, whoever you're talking about, we're jealous, and so we're jealous?
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know about you, Phil, I'm saying that the average viewer to the Academy Awards is so jealous that he's not going to get an Academy Award, that he doesn't get to be in movies, and that he doesn't get to be up there reading and doing the wonderful things they do to entertain us on Academy Award night. He's so jealous that the complaints have been they're taking too long. Let's wrap it up. They want the Academy Award telecast to be shorter, Phil, so that people don't have to look at how much fun these actors are having, and they won't have to look at how bad their lives are in comparison.
Let me ask you this. The actors who are up there, and I can't think of any, but I don't know. Let's just say a cat like Johnny Depp or someone, you know, who's a very good actor, but... They have these jokes that they read or something. You know what I'm saying? And they can, you know.
Yeah, it's on the teleprompter.
Yeah, on the teleprompter. But they'll come out and the guy will stand there and go, I don't know, but like Johnny Depp and Jennifer Lopez or something. Well, Johnny, we're here to present the best actor award. Yeah, ha ha. I like your dress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I think it's really funny. I think these are professional actors, so they know how to get a laugh. And
well, that's just what I'm saying. No, they don't. I mean, it's not funny. It's stupid and stiff. And
but if you look inside yourself, Phil, when you say that, and I'm sure the people out there who agree with you, if you look inside yourself, you're really jealous that you're not doing it instead of Johnny Depp.
And yet, I'm not jealous. I mean,
can you honestly look inside yourself and say, I wouldn't want to be up there given an Academy Award?
Well, I don't know. I bet you'd be fun. It would be funner. You know, it would be a lot of fun. And
you're going to say it would be funner? Funner than what?
Well, I don't know. No, I'm not jealous. I'm just saying that it looks like they could be delivering those lines in a much more natural way. They look uncomfortable, and a lot of those people look like they don't want to be there. And
no, that's not the case.
Well, a lot of them look like they don't want to be there. A lot of them look, or maybe they're trying to be too cool, and they're trying to be too stiff. And their agent told them, you know, you better do this.
So I think the jealousy that people feel is that they're in the movies, these movie stars, those people are stuck in their own jobs. Like, you may be jealous because you're stuck in radio and they're in movies. And
I honestly don't think I'm jealous. I'm telling you honestly, I believe it's because I just wish that they'd shut up and give some awards out. I'd love to hear from the actors that I like.
All right, who's an actor you'd like to see win?
I'd like to see Benicio del Toro win.
Would you mind if he went 2 minutes?
Well, that's a good question.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. If he's an actor that you really like...
Well, I think I'd like to hear that guy's story. Yeah, I'd like to know more about him and hear about his... Yeah.
Okay, so that's all we're saying. The people who don't want to hear actors go on with the long speeches are jealous of the actors who get to be in movies because they are running daycare centers... Or they're working in building maintenance someplace, or they are stay-at-home moms. They're jealous, and I think they need to put their jealousy behind them and let the actors have the time. You can't tell these people to shut up. They've got stories to tell. They went through a lot to get where they are. If you look at what Tom Hanks had to go through to make the movie Castaway, staying on that beach for the years that he did and eating fish,
The Academy Awards have the most prolific writers in the industry, and when Michael Douglas and George Clooney come out to present an award, they're excited to read the prepared lines that are on the teleprompter. And you and everyone else need to sit up and pay attention. And that's what I'm...
So that's your message.
My message to your listeners tonight is to sit up, pay attention to these actors, and quit complaining about it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. We're talking to Doug Danger. Doug is with the Orange County Courier. He's an entertainment writer, and we're talking about the forthcoming Academy Awards, and the Academy Awards are going to have a clock, a time limit, so that when the people get up to make their speeches, they don't run off at the mouth. And
I wouldn't call it running off the mouth, Phil. I mean, again, you are being very bigoted against actors. And
all right, I didn't mean to say run off at the mouth. I meant to say that they're not going to go on too long. And I thought they already had a time limit.
They had a light. The actors don't like that. Now they got a 45-second clock. The actors really don't like that. And you are running the risk of not hearing our actors and what they have to say about things. Can we really risk that? I don't think so. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I wouldn't lie.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I want to address what this caller just said, and I appreciate what he's saying. However,
hello?
I'm very happy with my life.
John, your car phone crapped out, so could you start that all over again?
Absolutely. I'm very happy with my life. I am in no way jealous of these actors. Spend 3 or 4 hours.
Hey, John, we got a car phone problem. I'm going to put you on hold until you get... Are you driving right now?
Yes, I am.
All right, maybe when you get into a better cell, so hold the line here. 1-800-449-86...
Can I address what he said?
What?
Can I address what he said?
Can you address what he didn't say anything?
Well, I wanted to address...
He didn't say... What are you going to address? Hold on for a minute. The guy said 3 words and he wants to address what he said. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Hold on for a minute. Doug, we got to go to another call. We're not going back to that guy just yet, okay?
Well, I wanted to make a point.
A point about what?
That he said he wasn't jealous. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
How do you know?
Because he's in denial, and I really believe that all people who are not actors are in denial if they say they're not jealous of actors.
I got to think about that one. Here is Linda on the Phil Henry Show. Linda, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Doug, I just wanted to make a comment to Doug. Is that your name?
Yes, ma'am. Doug Danger.
I just wanted to let you know that I think you're way off base with the general public being jealous of actors and actresses.
Well, don't you want to, when you watch the Academy Awards, don't you want to be up there presenting it? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Are you?
Yes, go ahead.
Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
I do not watch the Academy Awards because I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you don't go to movies?
Not very.
All right, okay,
rare.
Thanks for your call. Get some people on here who actually see the show. Otherwise, what are we talking about? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry with Doug Danger talking to us from the Little Shrimp in Laguna Beach about the 45-second clock that they've laid on actors to get their speeches finished, and you think it's wrong.
Hello?
Yeah, Doug, you think the 45-second clock is wrong.
I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong because we want to hear what these actors have to say, and if we don't want to hear, we should.
Because they've got so much to teach us.
Well, they do have a lot to teach us, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and what that basically means is I can see the honesty. I'm honest, and I can see how much the actors want to teach us about their lives and the things that they get to do with the money that they have that we don't know. They know things we don't know, and we want to hear them talk about it at the Academy Awards in front of the TV.
As they're reading a teleprompter.
Well, that's only part of it. After, when they get up and win the award, then they start talking about things that we need to know about, the parties they're going to go to, and stuff like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Kim?
Hello?
Yeah, is this Kim?
Hi.
Okay, here is Kim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just want to say, why is it that if somebody else has a different calling in life, that all of a sudden they're jealous? Because they're not...
I don't know, Kim. I don't know, but they are. And it's a good question. Why are they jealous? I think they're jealous because actors make a lot of money and get to go to restaurants and things they don't get to go to.
But that doesn't define another person's life. If
yeah, I know. It shouldn't, but it does.
But you know what?
And
I'm watching
instance,
them.
Why do you love to? You'd love to be on the Academy Awards, wouldn't you?
No.
You
I
wouldn't?
Reason-
I'm
I
sure you would. You know, that question's kind of loaded, Phil, because everybody's going to say no.
No, I do presentations all the time. I don't need to be on TV to do them.
Well, this is the biggest presentation of all, the Academy Awards. And I would say, Kim, that it's the most exciting thing that a person can do. And all we want to do is just not be jealous of these actors and watch them do their thing.
It's
right,
the most—it's the most exciting thing for them to do because that's their calling in life. But that doesn't mean it's the most exciting person in everybody else's life.
It's exciting for everybody else to watch it, and it's exciting for everybody else to want to see it because everyone's jealous of actors. And
yeah, you keep saying that everybody is jealous of actors.
Well, then why do they want to shut the actors up?
Because we don't want to hear their long-winded, boring speeches. Here is Cynthia on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi. I personally attended the Academy Awards.
Did you just say that they're boring?
I said that the actors, when they go on and on and on and on about crap. Yeah, go ahead, Cynthia.
Okay, I'll try again. I personally was on the Academy. I attended the Academy Awards. I was in the third row. And
What were you doing?
My girlfriend was associate producer of the Academy Awards one year.
Who were you sitting next to?
May I please finish?
Were you sitting next to anybody important?
Pardon me?
Were you sitting next to anybody important?
Robin Williams, Tom Cruise was behind me. But this is what the problem is. So many people... Wait a second. I need to make my point.
I wanted to know the dress you were wearing.
Let the lady talk.
I had a beautiful dress on. But let me just say one thing, because I have a bone to pick with you. I feel that celebrities are so overpaid. We idolize them.
Oh, but you were in the third row at the Academy Awards. I bet you that if they'd given you a front row ticket, you wouldn't be talking that way.
I was in the second row.
Well, if you think they're so overpaid,
why
were you there?
Listen,
why were you there?
I'm a gay man.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I don't care what your... Good for you. I love
actors
gay men, but you being gay has nothing to do with
it. These are the most important people in the world.
May I please make my point?
Well, what were you doing at the Academy Awards? How dare you be there?
I told you I attended one year because my girlfriend was able to get me in, and I was in the second row. But that's not why I'm calling you. Please let me make my point.
I'm gay.
Good. I love gay men, but that's beside the point. I don't care if you're gay or what you do.
Well, if you think they're overpaid and they're overblown, what were you doing at the Academy Awards?
If I could please make my point.
Go ahead. Will you let the lady talk?
If I could please make my point.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to make for the last 2 minutes. Thank you. My point is, actors, celebrities, they are grossly overpaid. I have a bone to pick because teachers and policemen and firemen who put their lives on for their community cannot afford homes in the communities that they service or work in. Celebrities. I'm telling you, I would not want to be a celebrity for all the money in the world because they have no privacy. I go to fine restaurants. I have been at tables where there have been actors and actresses sitting at, and I don't envy them for one moment because they have no privacy.
Okay, Cynthia, how many movie stars have you slept with? How many?
You want to know something? I was
did
at
you,
a bar
did you
and
sleep with
Rayburn, hello.
Yeah.
Gene
Rayburn raped you? Jesus.
She didn't say that.
I did not say he raped
you.
You said
that Gene Rayburn
asked me back to his apartment to make popcorn.
And when you went back and got on your hands and knees for him, make popcorn.
Excuse me.
I bet you did pop some corn.
Independent.
I bet you he popped your corn.
Okay, that's it. He popped your corn. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Charlotte on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hi. My comment is to Doug is that I don't believe that people are jealous of these celebrities, but I think that people are annoyed at those acceptance speeches. And I'll give you an example. I just watched the SAG Awards last week.
I don't know what those are.
Screen Actors Guild Awards, which is kind of similar to the Academy Awards.
SAG.
And
S-A-G, SAG.
SAG.
Annoying. It's like you know that they expected to win those awards, and you know if they didn't win those awards, they were going to be
pissed. See how jealous you are? It's coming out. You can say no, but I can tell you're jealous.
So anyways, they go up there, and they try to act really humble, but they're not.
Keep talking.
And it's not so much jealousy. It's just that
you just want to be one of them.
That they're very humble, but they're not.
Charlotte, I hope you get work soon. That's all I can tell you. I hope you get work soon.
Yeah, you're right. I am a struggling actor.
You are a struggling actor.
Yeah,
and I can only hope that when you get up on stage to get your Academy Award, you are not half as boring as you say these people are, okay? You wish you had the grace and style to be able to express yourself that, like that in an emotional moment.
No,
but
what I'm
perhaps someday maybe you will.
I won't give a lot.
All right, okay, shut up. Here is Fred on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hi. First off, I think the guy just came on your talk show to tell everybody in the world he's gay. And he's
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Which is kind of crazy, but...
What's wrong with that?
My point is that not everybody's, totally infatuated with these guys, their success.
Who's your favorite actor?
I'm from Houston, and I have a great job, get paid a lot of money, but... Never have ever said, I can't wait to run up on stage and thank 100 people that I really didn't care about anyway.
What if they asked you to do it? Would you do it?
If they asked me to do it?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
Right, Fred. Yeah, you want us all to believe that when the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences asked you to present an Academy Award, you'd say no.
No way. Why would
and
I?
You're going coon hunting that night.
Why would I have any kind of ambition to do that? I'll make...
Well, first of all, let's talk about
a year. Why would I want to do something like that?
Well, first of all, you could walk behind Jennifer Lopez as she walks ahead of you while you're going up there to that podium.
Jennifer Lopez? I have a wife and two kids, and my wife is beautiful. Why would I want something like that?
Because she's got a better ass than your wife.
I doubt it. I have a great, fulfilling job. Why would I want to be jealous of some idiot?
Let me ask you, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm being very honest. Wouldn't you bend over for William Shatner to get a seat at the Academy Awards?
But see, you must see everything as a gay person because I never think gay, and evidently that must.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, I wouldn't. Why would I do something so stupid?
Well,
I'm a rational human being.
Look, maybe Doug, you do that, okay?
Not everybody is infatuated like you obviously are.
Well, then how come everybody's calling in saying they want the speeches limited?
Well, you heard the one.
Years from now, whenever they're all, you read about them having killed themselves, or they're out there panhandling for money on the side of the road, then are you going to say, oh God, they're gods now? Are you going to say that? No, you're not.
All I'm saying is that we all need to get over our jealousy and bitterness and let these actors speak. Okay,
it's just like being infatuated with a sports star. Why would you do that? They're just human beings that happen to luck into something that's not that great in the first place.
Well,
they get about 3 or 5 years of it, and then they're out and they're done, and they're all washed up. They're out there being on
and you love it too, don't you? And you love it too, don't you?
No, it's stupid.
You do. You
man.
Wait for them. You wait for them to kill themselves.
It's just like being your gayness is not even real life.
I'm a gay man. Don't say my gayness isn't real life. I'm gay. I'm gay.
It's no.
And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
It's not real. Do you understand?
All right. Well, you're a homophobe.
Well,
you're a homophobe. That's your business. But I'd say get that wife with an ass like Jennifer Lopez. Otherwise, maybe you're gay.
All right. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. So there's Doug. I think it's funny listening to people talking about the Academy Awards and watching them, and the speeches are going on too long. Nobody that I know is complaining about the Academy Awards going too long. The complaint comes from either affiliates that want to cram on the late news, or they want to get Letterman, or they want to get Leno, or whatever network's carrying it. Those are the only guys complaining. Viewers aren't complaining. I don't give a crap. It's fine with me. I you kind of devote your whole night to it anyway, so you're watching. And frankly, the actors that you really like to see, you want to watch them go on and on and on. Although I don't know who half these people are they're talking about, it's fine. People don't complain. They just turn it off if it gets too long. And it really depends. I mean, if it's a movie that everybody wants to, if it's a particularly interesting race for best movie. Like, for instance, this year's race for best movie is not going to be a race at all. Gladiator's got it so hands down, it's not even funny. This is going to be one of those upset years. It's not going to be one of those Saving Private Ryan versus Shakespeare in Love things. Gladiator is going to win. If it doesn't, my clothes are off at high noon on the in the middle of Ventura Boulevard.
Really?
Yes. Look at Taylor's looking forward to that. Hey, really? I want to see you nude. I'm nude. And everybody's going, okay, Phil, you're committed. No, I'm not committed. I don't have to do anything. I can say I'm going to take my clothes off, and then I'm not going to do it. What do you think of that? How's my diet going? Yeah, just exactly how you're going to look with no clothes on, Henry? Yeah, you can call me the P word, and maybe that's it. But, you know, you got to keep life interesting. Well, what else is going to make a run at that flick credibly? Traffic. Traffic. They may surprise people. I don't know. That whole thing with Saving Private Ryan, I still don't get that, because Shakespeare in Love, I don't know one person that liked that movie. I don't know a human being other than maybe one of the kids' teachers. You know, but be that as it may, the fact of the matter remains that, what do you mean there's excitement about Russell Crowe being kidnapped possibly during the broadcast? The added excitement of Russell Crowe being kidnapped possibly during the, okay. Anyway, God, that was like really, I didn't get that at all. That poor guy is being stalked. The FBI is on him. Anyway, you know what? That was so unfunny, I'm stunned. I don't know where else to go. Did you write that? Oh. Let's put some music on, shall we, and just... Anyway, yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. jumping around for 15 minutes. That's what I want to see. Where the hell was I anyway? Oh, yeah. So there's absolutely no mystery to that thing. People got to watch it if there's a particular tension involved, and or not, as the case may be. But if it's somebody that they like, they're going to watch the guy, even though he's thanking Harry and Joey and all these cats you never heard of in your life. And why should you? You know what? The Academy Awards started as something that was for the people. They had lunch. They gave an award. And the rest of us slobs, we weren't allowed in at all. Then somebody got the bright idea they're going to televise it. All right, so, you know, they televised it and we wanted to watch it. Why the hell should we have any say in how that show goes at all? And I think they ought to go back to lunch, the way they were doing it. Don't you? I thought it was awesome seeing those old film clips of the Academy Awards where they're eating rubber chicken or they're having some crap can lunch. And then, oh yeah, they're going up and they're getting their award. That's cool. Looked like a roast. And it was held in the middle of the day, too. And it was held like at a restaurant. It was a small affair. Now it's at, now they're building a theater for it. Well, be that as it may, I personally just don't think they should time limit those guys, because who knows? One of them may be stumbling drunk. Somebody may streak. Someone may go up with soy bomb. All that cool stuff. I love it when the old-timers get cut off. I said that last night. I'd also like to thank the people who... What the hell's going on? Thank you very much. The Academy Awards will continue with Cuba Gooding Jr. again after the... What the Christ? Get out of here! That's what they might as well say, you know? And the winner is the Irving Thalberg Lifetime Achievement Award, Bob Hope. Bob, come on up. Hey...
Well, I'll tell you, this is great, and I want to thank everybody.
The Academy Awards will be back in just... What the hell are you doing? Just go, just lay down, Bob. Who's up for the Irving Thalberg Award? Is it like a... I don't know.
Wait a second, I'm Bob Hope for Quest. I gotta tell you, this is blowing my mind. I'm Bob Hope for Texaco.
But then when they start the music, it's so rude, you know? Doesn't it seem rude to you? Hello, I'm Gregory Peck, and the year that I did Gentleman's Agreement was wonderful. Thank you for the... And we'll be back with more. It jumps right in on top of the poor guy. All of those old-timers, you know. So that's the only part of it that I don't like. And if it's some young cat, you know, is droning on, goodbye, get out of here. What did I see? Do you see what I saw on Matt Drudge today? Julia Roberts made some crack, allegedly, about President Bush being a piece of crap. Now, see, that kind of stuff can happen at the academy. Did you hear that? Julia Roberts allegedly said that Bush was a reptile and a real scumbag, and he wasn't her president, and a lot of other really stupid crap that you pray, you get on your knees, you pray to the God of your parents' choice, you pray to Jesus, you pray to Muhammad, you pray to Buddha, that they won't be dumb enough to say on television. Don't do it, Julia. Just don't say anything, okay? Just get the award. Wear the push-up job. You know, you're having a great year. Get out of here.
I'd also like to say that President Bush is...
Okay, thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. You remember when they were giving Richard Gere all that crap about Tibetan Buddhism and all that stuff? Yeah, Richard Gere was going to say, screw the commies in China. I don't know what the hell it was. They were really worried about it. And one year he gets up there and he wins, I don't know, the last time Richard Gere won an award, what was he doing up there? But... thank you very much, and I'd like to say that the Tibetan Buddhists are being persecuted. Okay, we'll be right back, and up yours. We'll be back with a guy who has a gerbil and some PVC pipes shoved up. And Peter Coyote, are they going to do the same thing this year that they did last year? Are they going to do the thing where he's standing there like he's wearing the McDonald's headpiece? Can't look at that headpiece anymore without thinking McDonald's, right? Oh, when Richard Gere was presenting, he talked about Tibet. Oh, that really makes a lot of sense. What? Richard, look, we want you to present the award. Can I do a thing? No, for Christ's sake. Look, you're not even winning. Well, I want to do the thing about Tibet. You're presenting. You're not winning. Don't you get it? I just... And now to present the Lifetime Achievement Award, Richard Gere. You know, Tibet is really a cool place. Okay, thanks, Richard. We'll be back with somebody else to present in just a moment. Not even nominated, loser. Get out of here. And Tibet's really cool, and I hate when it... And so anyway, Peter Coyote was off stage in what looked like a giant toilet wearing a McDonald's headpiece and trying to be comfortable. He's such a good actor, and he's got a hell of a voice. He narrates a lot of things. But everybody was sort of befuddled, except me. I dug it. I loved it. Everyone I talked to, they didn't dig the whole, and coming up, we'll have more. As the people are walking off with their award, he was standing there with the headset and doing the announcing. And he said, well, I don't get that. I don't understand why they... It looked cool to me. It looked like some kind of an Ernie Kovacs back behind the scenes thing. What the hell's wrong with that? They should put him in a helicopter. With that headpiece, you know? Wouldn't it be cool if they got it? But Peter Coyote there at the Academy Awards, okay? He's got the McDonald's headset on, and the people are getting their Academy Award or whatever the hell it is, and they're going up and they're giving their speeches, and they're going through all of their little thank yous to everybody that they know. Maybe Julia Roberts sent a Native American up to accept the award. And then when they're done, they go to Peter Coyote, and he goes to a commercial break, and it sounds something like this.
All right, thanks a lot, Julia, and we'll be back to the Academy Awards with another asshole. This is Peter Coyote. I'm your announcer in a helicopter. Why they took me up here, I got no idea. What am I doing up here? Down there. But I've got the headset and the helicopter, so screw you when I get off. We'll be back with Cuba Gooding Jr. looking like an ass in just a moment.
That's what they ought to do. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, in a never-ending effort to drag me kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I've just found out about Netflix.com. If you've seen Netflix.com, then you know. This is not a commercial, by the way. I talk about things that I find and that I like, and people think I'm getting paid to say these. I'm not getting a nickel. Weight Watchers. I don't get any money from Weight Watchers. I'm not even doing Weight Watchers. I stole the book and the point thing from my wife. I haven't paid Weight Watchers a nickel. This Netflix, you got to check this out. $19.95, a flat monthly rate, and you can rent as many DVD movies as you want per month. And then they send you a self-addressed an address stamped envelope, and you just mail them back. They mail them to your house. You watch the movie. You mail it back, man. and it's like $19.95 a month. Up to three movies at any one time. Am I right, Mike? So you can have three movies at any given time. And while you got the three movies that you want, you're ordering others, and so you send one back, and then you get the third one. So you always have your three movies, and they're constantly mailing them to you, so you're never without a DVD movie. And therefore, you never leave your house, and you don't have a life. That's the goal, isn't it? That's the goal, a 21st century goal. Never, ever, ever leave your home. And that's what I'm looking for. I don't... These cats are like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Don't ever leave your pad. You sit there on your ever-widening rear end. You wait for the guy in the funny-looking baseball cap, some dude with the faint aroma of marijuana about him or nicotine, as he gets out of the van, to give, you know, gives you your DVD. You go in, you sit down, and then if you got Pink Dot, Jim, you're never leaving, man. You got them bringing the food, the cigarettes, the you know, the beer. You got to have, you know, your Johnny Walker. Your movies are coming by way of Netflix. You've got that, you know, the bedpan all set up, so you're not even moving. You're crapping right there. You just, everything's just great. You got a pan next to you in case you need to take a leak. How could you not love that kind of a life? How could you not just be rocking and rolling with something like that, huh? These cats are telling me, and Mike, and you know, say, dude, you got to get Netflix, man. Because this way, you don't have to go to Blockbuster anymore. Well, you know, actually, that is a blessing. Going to Blockbuster on a Friday night, on a Saturday night. Have you been into Blockbuster lately, man? The line's going out the door. You're standing there, you're seeing people you know, your neighbors. Hey, how you doing? Hey, real good, yeah. What do you got tonight? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Hey, have you seen The Sixth Sense? What is that, man? It's Manhunter. Yeah, I thought this Alice, Sweet Alice is something. It's some kind of gore. My Bloody Valentine. You don't know what the hell these guys are renting. They're all, everybody's in line. What a license to print money that Blockbuster is. And at my house, do we get the movie back in time? No, of course not. I'm getting every month I got a card. You're late. $8, $9, $11. I'm running a, I got a monthly charge with Blockbuster. I'm late. $12. But not with Netflix. No late charge with these guys. What if you keep it longer than a month? Huh? No, it says keep each. Oh, as long as you want. You can keep the movie as long as you want. They're charging. Well, how do? What if I want to keep it the rest of my life? I'm paying $20 a month for that one movie. You're right. I'm a dumbass. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I just, you know, I have to ask the obvious questions. $20 a month. Some guy says, I keep the movie as long as I want. But that Blockbuster, the one up the street from us. And now, of course, they have all the impulse buying stuff that you'd ever want. Reese's Pieces, popcorn, candy, Cokes. You take a kid with you, Jim, you're buying that whole freaking store out. Because that's the first thing. The biggest impulse buyers on earth are kids. Can we get some Reese's? Because it's right there. That's what they're counting on. And I got to be the bad guy and say no. Oh, no, except for my kid. If I took Craig with me, he'd be doing that too. So my kids and Craig, all impulse buyers. Wait, Mike, I got to see what you're telling me here. But this is the thing. Toys, magazines, the $5 bin. But, you know, we go in there to rent a movie now. It's forget it. And but this Netflix sounds very good. Got to do that. And but I got to find a life. Just sitting in my home and not going anywhere is not making it. Now, the plus, I don't have a DVD player. The only DVD player that I have is the kids play PlayStation 2. So I'm going to have to steal her PlayStation. As long as I have it, I might as well play a few games.
Pastor.
Yes?
What I want to know is, do you think that if you don't give that 10%...
Wait, what church you go to?
I'm a Baptist.
All right, you know what Genesis says, don't you?
Yes, sir, I
what's
do.
What's it say?
I know about the 10%, but what I'm
10%
asking
of what?
You is...
10%
what
of what?
You is
10% of what?
Of what you make.
That's not what the Bible says. That I will give God one-tenth of everything he gave me.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. When's the last time you picked up a Bible?
Hey, last night. God helps those that help themselves also, Pastor.
Well, you know, I help
myself.
Let
me ask you something.
Why don't they tie me? I don't say I'm taking the debt. I'm taking it off the top.
Hey, take it off the top. Take it off the bottom. That's why you're renovating.
You know, I'm a businessman, too. I own my own company.
You a Baptist. As a Baptist man, you know more than anything how important this is. Don't be a cheap ass. Get up, cover up the money, and don't let God come looking for you. You look for God.
Hey, God knows where to find you, Pastor.
God knows where to find
you. In a minute.
I'll tell you right now.
He'll kill you in a minute.
Hey, God, look at me. I'm trying to do God's good work. I want
10%.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
I tell you what, you come to my church. Well, you don't have to believe me. You want
to
come into my church? You bring out that damn pay stuff.
10%.
What? Say what?
I don't believe that you're saying that you're going to go to hell if you don't pay 10% of
you're going to rot in hell. You're going to burn.
Hey,
oh, Lord.
Let me ask you something.
You're going to burn. You don't come
David. Is David in hell right now?
David is not in hell. You know he is beloved of God.
Hey, let me ask you something, Pastor. Didn't he commit to adultery? Didn't he do the worst sin?
David is beloved of the Lord. But you know that God forgave David because he did not work.
Yes, he did.
That's
Pastor.
Right.
Let me ask you something,
he
Pastor.
Is beloved of God.
Do you not think that God's going to forgive you now?
I don't think the Lord is going to forgive any man who willingly holds back on him. The Lord said, I
won't believe
either.
I don't believe because that's not a man of God.
Don't be playing it cheap with God.
You, Pastor,
you play the cheap with God.
Don't tell people that they're not going to go to heaven if they don't dish out every bit of that money. Because let me tell you what, God tells people where to send their money, and he don't need you to tell them.
God, where's he telling people to send their money?
You understand what I'm saying?
Where's he telling them to send their money?
He thinks that you need to go down the street and spend that $100 on someone that's starving to death. Please don't go down there and throw it in a church that you don't know whose clothes it's buying.
Oh, that's a lot of claptrap.
That's a whole lot of hooey.
Well, son, you know that's a whole lot of hooey. You know it. Pull your head out and take a look at the world, son. You know that's a bunch of hooey, and you know it. The good Lord knows that his church, I don't see no P.O. box in the Bible, by the way. What do you mean where I'm going to send it?